Did everyone else get their bodies just riddled with contagion?
No, I was totally fine. You know what it is? I think it's my consistent.
It was all the
alcohol. It's all no. It was the fiber.
You were, that's not what it was. You were a vessel for alcohol. You were sterilized.
Who took vitamins every day?
I took vitamins thanks to Justin. Did. He went out and bought them.
Was the Metamucil the vitamins?
No, the vitamins were the vitamins.
Metamucil has vitamins in it, right?
No, it has poop vitamins.
That's just that sweet fibra.
Let me just say, I think the key to staying healthy during conferences is twofold. Ready? One, hearty salads. Eat a lot of hearty salads. Number two, consistent bowel movements. If you get those two going, you are basically Superman.
One sort of leads into the other, doesn't it?
I think they're very much tied into one another, yes. How were your bowel movements during E3?
They were the pits.
And there you go. That's what you were keeping all those toxins inside.
Yeah.
Well, we should have done a team colonic, I think.
Wow.
That's awful. Everything you said is awful.
Well, I mean,
human centipede.
It's awful, but like, yeah, tell me, that's what I'm picturing.
It's like human centipede.
One tube
exactly.
That would go through all of us.
No. It involves a hookah-like apparatus.
Like a water pond?
Like a central watering unit with 12 to 15 hoses.
Dibs on the head.
Oh.
I'm first.
Yeah.
No, it has multiple hoses.
It has multiple hoses so that we can share in the experience.
It's called plural irrigation.
It's called octopusing because it's what it looks like. All right. Oh, let's start the show.
There it is.
Cool. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
Hey, I'm Griffin McElroy, and I'm a lunger, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop playing video games.
Hey, I'm Christopher Plant, and I am the winner chicken dinner.
My name is Russ Frustick, and I know the best game of the week.
Russ Frustick goes Super Saiyan every time we start this show. he receives the quickening, and then he's ready to roll.
This is, of course, the besties, where the four of us best friends, meet up weekly to discuss the week's new releases, and maybe ones just a little bit older than that, pit them against each other in Mortal Kombat to find out which new game reigns supreme. That game is then pitted against our current reigning champion, which is Russ Frustick. What is our current reigning champion?
I honestly do not remember.
Cool. Meaningful. Anyone?
I don't remember.
We don't have a current one, right?
Max Payne 3.
It's Max Payne 3, technically, yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, we had our special video episode last week, which I hope everyone watched and enjoyed. It's where we decided that The Best of Us, was that the best game of E3?
No.
Of
E3? No, Last of Us did not win.
The Land of Us.
Are you sure it wasn't The Best of Us?
It might have been The Best of Us.
So yeah, we're a little foggy.
I think it was Project P100.
I think it's the Festivus.
Oh, you're right. It was.
Oh, the Festivus.
It was Project P100.
Good.
I'm gonna be our commissioner this week, and if that's okay with you guys, but that's only because the three games I've been playing this week are Persona 3 Portable, Skyrim, and Puzzle Quest 2. So
really on the pulse.
Can't really talk about any of those. So I'm going to lead today's discussion, and to pick who goes first, why don't we vote on who goes first this week, Survivor style.
Okay. Justin.
Okay, I vote for me.
Okay, I vote for Justin.
Okay, so that's three votes for Justin. So Justin gets to go, and then
thought we were kicking him off the island.
No, I wanted I was voting for the other thing.
Plant, how old are you?
You know, like 26.
Frustick?
Ageless.
Okay, so we're gonna go Frustick last because he's awful. Justin, what you been playing?
Yo. So check this out. I've been playing Lollipop Chainsaw. That's a game from Suda 51, and James Gunn helped write it.
Did you just have to Google the number that came after Suda?
No. So that's the game I've been playing. It's about a cheerleader. It's about a cheerleader who has a chainsaw, and she eats lollipops, and there's zombies coming from another dimension to sweep across the earth, and they're turning her classmates into zombies. So her boyfriend gets bit by a zombie, and she chops his head off and attaches it to her belt, and they go off and fight the zombie menace. There's action, because you have to use your chainsaw and zombies to kill them, and there's also dodge.
they've mastered the dodge mechanic.
Dodging.
Now, Justin, they're
hitting guys with pom poms.
Sorry, Justin. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. But is there jump?
No jump. If you dodge near a zombo, you'll jump over them, leapfrog style. And that's the closest it gets.
I see.
What feels kind of like clunky combat at first. It does have a certain fluidity to it when you start chaining together the dodges and the chainsaws. But I think probably the most notable it's a pretty standard character action game. I think the only thing that's notable about it is the tone, which is alternately like pretty grossly sexist, but simultaneously being kind of campy about it and helping to excuse some of that, I guess, maybe, depending on your tolerance. Some of it is, I guess, funny-ish, but a lot of it is just pretty crude. And I know that makes me sound like an old man, but when you save a teenage boy, he says, "I'm going to masturbate to you tonight." It's like, well...
Is that a direct quote?
That is a direct quote. I think it might be, "I'm so going to masturbate to you tonight."
Now, can I interject here and just say...
Feel beautiful? Yeah, of course.
No. There's been a lot of talk about the, you know, exploitative sexuality of the game. Is it possible that maybe he's just going to masturbate to you tonight because he's so, like, grateful for your help, for your heroism?
Maybe, but then you get an achievement for looking up her skirt, so it's hard to say.
Is there Kinect now, support?
No, but there is a, like, it says in the thing, like, don't look up her skirt. And so I'm just playing normally, and all of a sudden I get an achievement. Achievement so, that says... That
this says, part of the show is for Justin's wife.
Yeah.
It was a total accident. I jumped.
The name of the achievement is actually... It was an accident, I swear. Which, I mean, it was. Because, like, I don't know. I'm 31. You know, if I need to see that, I know where to find it. And it's certainly not in a Suda 51 game. Like... It's very bizarre, but hey, at least I have that achievement now forever.
Wait, yeah, what is the achievement's name?
I think it's called, it's either, I think it's like, it was an accident, I swear, or...
This man is a pervert.
This man is marked as a pervert.
It's also, or it could just be like, "Oh, you like that teen stuff, huh?" In like all caps, bold.
"I got a link for you."
That's dreadful. Justin, let me ask you something.
Nummy, nummy.
Oh, God.
Daddy like.
Justin, let me ask you. So there was a...
Panties ahoy.
Oh, my God. This is going to give me nightmares.
Pampies a boy.
Why did you become Jabba the Hutt?
It's called "I Swear I Did It by Mistake." And it will actually give you 10 points, which is pretty good. I mean, it's probably worth it. It is the, shockingly, it is the, like, seventh, or no, it's in, like, 10th place in the achievements in Giant Bomb's ranking, so, I don't know.
Most commonly unlocked, you mean?
Yeah, right.
I'm so bored with your game. You know what set me off with?
It's a very boring game.
It's a boring game, and you did the helpless puppy thing where you're like, it starts off and it's not fun at all, but you kind of get into the rhythm of it.
No. The combat itself is becomes more fluid as you sort of unlock new moves to use. I don't know. It's like. It's very sort of, it feels like one of those things where once you've played through, just in terms of mechanics, right? It feels like once you've played through the first stage, you kind of mechanically understand most of the things that are going on. It has like similar to what was that ninja game that From Software made?
Similar to Ninja Ninja.
It has sort of outlandish mini game type quick time events in there where, you know, you'll be, you know, jumping across a bunch of zombie heads and you'll have to hit a button sequence to keep it going, or sometimes you put your boyfriend's head onto a zombie's body and you have to do a little mini game to make him complete some sort of objective. But it's all so stilted. I mean, it doesn't smoothly transition from the action into these little sequences. There's always like a little text pop up or something that says like, hey, this is how you do this mini game. When it like press the buttons that pop up on the thing isn't the most obvious thing you could possibly do. So I don't know. It seems it's all very standard. It doesn't have any of the sort of mechanical creativity of even like Shadows of the Damned.
Well, that's what I want to ask you, because tonally it sounds obviously it's the same people. Didn't James Gunn also write Shadows of the Damned?
No, I don't think he was involved with Taste.
Well, but obviously Suda 51 worked on it, and tonally it sounds very similar. But I found Shadows of the Damned sense of humor really funny and engaging and like clever. Even though it was like really crude. Yeah, for the most part. Obviously, some of it wasn't, but for the most part, I thought it was like very much aware of how ridiculous it was being and sort of embraced it. And it sounds like this game doesn't really do it quite as effectively.
Yeah, it doesn't really get there. I mean, it just is. It makes you, I don't know, it just kind of made me feel a little dirty.
I can't imagine why, with its pervert achievements.
Yeah, right. It doesn't feel like, oh, we're all having a laugh together. It feels like I don't know.
I just can't get excited about the game because James Gunn couldn't get excited about the game. Like, yeah. I remember an interview I did with him at GDC, and I was like, you know, are you kind of, you know, think you're bringing more talent to, you know, the game writing ghetto, you know? You're a relatively successful film writer, and now you're writing here. And he was like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, if it fails, I can just go back to doing what I do. And it was like, oh, okay. And then he like went and sat with his pretty model girlfriend that he
I just think
not
he should
Jenna from the
he
office.
He should stick with designing dresses and that kind of like wardrobe.
Yeah, I mean,
design.
He only
like
has
that's really
10 minutes.
No, that's a different gun.
That's where his strength is.
That's
you know?
A Griffin. That's the other gun. That's not him. Yeah, you're making a mistake. You're confusing two different people, Griffin.
But James Gunn is also an alternative for Tim. Is this not?
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Frustick, comedy poison.
It's more like I just like.
Yeah,
like
no,
demolishing
like
horrible ideas.
Water.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad.
So let's move
talk
on and
talk
about
game.
Somebody else's game.
Hey, excuse me, are you the commissioner?
Sorry.
I'll fucking decide when it's time to move on. Maybe I want to hear more about this game.
Oh, wait. Before we move on, I do have a serious question for Justin.
Okay.
Justin, so you're fighting zombies in this game, but the zombies are from another dimension.
No.
You said the
virus that converted them into zombies is from another dimension.
Oh.
They converted your classmates into zombies.
So it was a virus. They didn't start out as zombies from another dimension.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
no
you're killing your friends.
Well, but they're zombies. It's fine. No further questions.
Okay.
I saw a trailer and the lollipops look like Chupa Chips. Can you confirm or deny?
They look exactly like Chupa Chups.
Why do you pronounce it like that?
Chupa Chips?
It's just Chupa Chups. Chupa Chupas.
No. It's Chupa Chips.
You're talking about the ice cream flavored lollipops?
They don't have to be ice cream flavored. There's all kinds of
Chirp Chirps, I think is what it
no,
is.
No, it's Chirp Chirps.
Chirp Chirps! Hey, Chris Plant, tell me about your game.
My game is Gravity Rush for the PlayStation Vita.
Thank God.
I know, right? The Vita, we mentioned how great it is. And you know what? It is great when you have a good game on it. And I guess I should explain how Gravity Rush works for people who haven't seen it. It is a game in which you play as a young woman named Kat, who is named after a cat that she wakes up near, and she has amnesia because it's a Japanese game. We had a debate with Justin. Apparently didn't know that people in Japanese games have amnesia. This was very new to him, which makes me think Justin has never played a Japanese
game. Maybe I just forgot.
Chupa chupa. So you gain the power to fall any direction you would like. You basically have control of gravity within about a 5-foot bubble around you. So if you want to fall upwards, you can do that, or you can fall sideways, or any which way.
Downwards. What about downwards?
You can fall downwards, awesome. Because the game takes place in a sky city, like in Star Wars, but it looks more like a Japanese kind of anime. So it's Star Wars by way of Japanese anime. And you are fighting these, like, squiddy, ink-covered monsters, and that's kind of like the not-so-hot part of the game. Power to fly or fall or whatever is great, but kind of matching that up with these kick attacks that usually miss, especially later in the game, is pretty irritating. But the story is very cute. There's some really dark stuff in there about whether reality is real or not. It gets very depressing. Lots of dead children.
Is it?
Yeah, it gets dark.
No, is reality real?
No. In the end, you find out that reality is a lie.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Why would you spoil it like that?
Did your parents not tell you?
Life spoiler.
I thought that was right after Santa.
No, you know, I'm sorry. I saw The Matrix with my daddy, and afterwards he was like, yep, that's pretty much it.
Nailed it.
Got it. And then he jumped 30 feet into the air and disappeared. He turned into bits in front of me. I said, Dad, no! And that's how my dad died.
By turning into bits.
You turn into bits and sprites.
And thank God you have SSX.
I know.
Callback.
Thank you, Russ!
Thank you for putting a lantern on it the size of a fucking porch of Statue of Liberty. Ass. That's it. Do you have any questions about it?
I do. I have a question.
On our site. Go ahead.
Is it a problem that... Because there's so many Vita games coming out in the next 6 months, like should people really invest?
It will get lost. It will get lost at the top of the now available for download section.
There's literally one. You know what? This game might win the Vita best of the year collection because honestly, like, there's one Vita game coming out in the next 6 months, so it has that going for it.
In the next 6 months, it has.
Little Big Planet Vita.
It has Little Big Planet Vita. It has Assassin's Creed, and it has Call of Duty, and probably Madden.
But Call of Duty might not even come out. We haven't even seen Call of Duty.
PSL Stars Battle Royale is coming out.
Yeah.
Persona 4, The Golden. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. They're good games.
Seriously, though, I was watching someone playing Gravity Rush.
Hell yeah.
And they were making a bedroom in a sewer.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Please explain.
You do that. Here is what I've realized about female protagonists in games and why there should be a lot more of them. I don't think it's out of good intentions, but female protagonists in Japanese games get to do a bit more housemaking than male protagonists, who just immediately start shooting things. So at the beginning of this game, you don't really have a house yet. So you use your gravity powers to go and steal furniture, I guess borrow abandoned furniture off the street, and you build a house in the sewer. And it's very cute. You can go there and you can change your outfits. I want more of that in my video games. I would like more stuff away from the constant killing things to actually get to know my person. And also build a cute little house.
But it doesn't have to be a female character to do that.
No, not at all. But since that seems to be the only type of character that gets to do this, I'm appreciative of it when it shows up.
What about Animal Crossing?
It'd be great to see a man doing it.
There is no more Animal Crossing.
Yeah, did you not hear?
No.
Nintendo shot the franchise into the sun.
No.
Yeah, they said, Tom, what are all these hashtags? Too many hashtags that sets off our computer-controlled sun device and fires the franchise into the sun. It's actually the fans' fault.
I have another question about Gravity Rush.
Go on.
Oh, good.
Is there a lot of motion controls?
No.
So you can't, like, use...
There is a cool move that you can do. I mean, sometimes it can be annoying when there's a smooth surface and you want to walk on it, but your gravity is, you know, constantly aiming in one direction. So you just want to kind of go on its side, and that'll sling you off the edge because you're facing... I can't say south. You're facing some direction that throws you off. So you can stick to a surface and do, like, a kind of a slide move that... kind of like, you know, in the Sonic games and you'd slide on rails? You can do something kind of like that, and that requires motion control, where you're steering the character left and right. And it is not super responsive.
Oh.
It's a cool move, but it's not my favorite thing to do because motion controls kind of suck.
Were you at all... A lot of people were pinning their hopes on this being, like, the Vita's, like, first real killer app game. And, like, the Vita had a good launch lineup, but... Yeah. I don't think it has that one game on it yet that people have to own a Vita for. And reading your review, like, you sounded like a little bit disappointed. Like, all the flying and falling stuff sounded as cool as we were all hoping it was going to be, but a lot of the games sounded kind of disappointing.
No, I compared it to when I was talking to Arthur, our reviews editor, about this, that it's like Crackdown or Earth Defense Force, or even Just Cause 2 in some ways, where the game is by no means perfect. It's definitely repetitive, but, like, it just does that one mechanic so well, and it's so fun. And the game itself is just so joyful, despite being very dark and grim, that it's like that makes up for all the faults. So I think it is definitely, if you're really into games and if you're, like, on the fence about a Vita, I think it's worth it. I think it's crazy to I'm surprised people ever thought this would be, like, a console pusher, you know, like, it's not mainstream like a Madden or a Call of Duty or even Uncharted. Like, it's a weird game, and we always knew that. But I think if you're into weird games, yeah, I don't know why you would want to skip this outside of the Vita being expensive.
The only reason people thought this is as a console pusher is just because there was literally nothing else coming out for the next many months. So it was like a unique first party, right? Sony put this out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, a unique first-party game on the platform, and people are just, like, desperate for anything, so...
Yeah, and it's not really, like, anything you can play anywhere else. I mean, maybe it works on a big screen, but I kind of actually think it would make me nauseous playing it on a screen much bigger than a portable.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I was trying to figure out why it didn't come out on anything else, and, it, you know, you need the traditional controls. Like, it wouldn't work with a touch screen. But at the same time, I mean, you are whipping around in every which way, especially when the combat gets going. And I think I would just puke if I was playing it on a large television.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds great.
That's why it's good on the Vita. That's why it's there.
So far, we have two games that will make you puke if you play them.
For different reasons. Except for mine is good. And mine treats women like... human beings, though it does emphasize that they love to make their house nice.
And they have some skimpy costumes from what I've seen.
They're skimpy, but they're not, like, reveal. It's more like, oh my gosh, I almost said, like, little girl dance clothes.
Oh my god.
But it's
Oh my god. What, like, is that sparkle show? Motion?
No, it's, like, not sexy. It's not, like, revealing.
What's that creepy show on A&E? With the mothers, and they make the kids dress up and do dances.
Toddlers and
Tiaras. Like, yeah. No, it's not like that. It's like gymnastic outfits.
Yeah, creepy.
It's not.
I just got so eked out. You just compared little girls' gymnastic outfits to Lollipop Chainsaw. I need to go take a salt bath.
I was about to say which is worse, and they're both so hot. God.
Let's get Chris Plant out of this grave that he's digging for himself. This.
Let's talk about anything else.
Okay. So I wanted to discuss something.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know, but I'm kind of scrawny.
Right.
I'm not exactly a large man. I'm a little slight. But recently,
you are beautiful though.
I know I'm beautiful. I know that
you have you have a beautiful body. Like
I'm slightly elfin, I would say, like Legolas.
Yeah. You're beautiful like Legolas is beautiful.
Right.
I wouldn't change. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't change a thing.
Well, here's the thing. Recently I've been thinking, you know, maybe I could be a little more strong in reality and not just in video games.
Okay.
So I went out and I purchased a chin-up bar that I installed in my house. And 3 days ago, I tried to do chin-ups. I've literally not tried to do a chin-up since I was about 9 years old in gym class when I could do less than half of one. And this
has time, anyone on this call ever done one chin up? No lies.
Yes.
Yes.
I had to.
Horse shit, Justin.
It was back during the president's fitness.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, you don't have to during the president. It's not like they shoot you if you can't do a chin up.
No.
Yeah, but you don't get the president's award.
They give you. I got one for hanging onto the bar for 10 seconds.
Wow.
They were giving that away.
Yeah.
Well,
I did one pull up then, and that was the last. And I said, I'm never doing that again. I hated that.
Yeah, it's not too much fun. But I installed one, and I was actually surprisingly, I think it might have to do with my svelte body, is that I was actually able to do about two. And then I did this thing called negatives where you hang down, you try to lower yourself down really slowly. I did a bunch of those. So this was 3 days ago. My entire body, 3 days on, feels like basically every movement feels like I'm in acid.
Yeah.
You
are in acid. You're in uric acid.
Yeah, I'm living in uric acid. I'm surrounded by it. And it leads me to believe that I might be in the worst shape of anyone on the planet. I honestly think that anyone I could lift, like I have difficulty lifting stationary right now.
I started using doing a few times a week for the past month or so, doing a body weight routine that I found on Nerd Fitness.
Why would you want to have the fitness of a nerd though?
I don't. It's more about. I mean, there's lots of pictures of swords, that kind of thing.
You would think you would want like a good bodied individual. To be showing to like be lighting your path, so like a John Travolta
fitness. John Travolta is not in great shape, but this is a routine you can do like
take it back
in your own home with no additional equipment. So that's been pretty good, and I like it a lot. It's a lot more interesting than riding a bike because that gets pretty boring. I used to ride a stationary bike.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's boring.
You don't really ride a stationary bike, do you? Riding implies movement.
Operate then?
Sit astride and you
sit
pump
astride.
You
yeah,
pump
a bike. I've sat astride things and people have called it riding.
I'm not riding this office chair right now. Although I could technically
do you ride a car?
No, you drive a car, but
that's in motion though.
Yeah.
What about during intimate encounters?
Oh god.
Actually, you know I'm just saying that is called riding at times.
Oh, so no, sick. Ride is like the wrong word too, because it implies that you're not the one in control. Like the rider is usually, you know, like the passenger.
Sure.
That's a real problem for these bikes.
What? No, no one says you're driving a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dummy. But why do they say ride? Because that's not the right word. You ride a roller coaster. You don't drive it.
You ride a bike.
No, you shouldn't, though. You should drive a bike.
Well, I'll go back to 1910 and make sure everyone changes that for you.
Thank you.
How are your guns doing today?
Oh, my God. It's a nightmare. I literally cannot stretch my arms out all the way. It's horrible.
You're not supposed to overexert yourself.
I know, but it was the first time I was doing it, and I went on YouTube, and there was a really muscly guy, and he told me to go nuts, and I went nuts. Big mistake.
Wait, what does nuts mean for you? Does that mean three?
I mean, no, do you want me to, like, give you my full regimen? That seems a little dull.
I don't.
But I did, like, basically pull up for, like, it was a good half hour of, like, pull up, exercises.
What's your whey intake like?
What do you, my, like, eating whey?
Like, porridge and whey.
Curds and whey. Like,
are you taking
Miss
a
Moffitt.
Lot of raw protein powder?
Yeah. That's the secret, you know, is you gotta cram prot. You gotta cram your prot and you gotta slam your way. And then you can like chug all the lifts that you wanna do.
There's a fitness term called greasing the groove or something.
Yeah, greasing your groove.
Sure. Yeah, it pushes the body V.
You gotta wet up those muscles. You know, you gotta get your muscles super wet before you try to do these things.
W-H-E-T, right?
You gotta wet your muscles so that they're like really lubed up, so that when they rub up against each other, there's not as much friction. It displaces the uric acid, which becomes sweat, and then it turns into full muscle energy.
I'm good at gleaming the cube, but I'm not really good at grinding the
That's real day proto fitness.
Now tell me,
getting out there.
Real quick, are you romancing the stone?
I'm doing some
that's
of that.
Key. Now, have you burnt on a wire?
Yeah.
Hey, tell me real quick. Cat on a hot tin roof. Are you doing that?
Yahoo Serious. 1980s romantic comedy.
I've been thinking about, you know, the way exercise works. And have you ever made whipped cream before, like homemade whipped cream?
Sure.
Yeah, all the time. Right.
So what you do is you take, like, you know, fat, and then you agitate it, and it becomes whipped cream.
That's what you're saying.
So I'm saying, like, why when you exercise, serious question, why when you exercise do you not, like, excrete whipped cream?
Yeah, sure.
It makes sense.
So is that, like those belts in the 1950s that they put on people and they'd shake and then they'd turn into whipped cream?
I wonder if that's what happened. I wonder if that's why you don't see it anymore.
That's where the blob came from?
Yeah, it made gyms too delicious.
See, that's the problem. That's the problem with. That's the issue with John Travolta, is that he's not doughy. It's just that he got super beefed out, right, for Battlefield Earth, but then all of his fat that he worked out of his body just turned into cream. So he's just a cream filled man.
What about Broken Arrow?
Speaking of cream filled men, yeah. Russ, tell me about your game.
I did want to tell you about my game, but I wanted to tell you one quick thing first.
I've already decided I don't like your game.
What? No. No, I want to, before we move from the halftime, I want to talk about heading back from E3. So I was in the airport waiting for my flight to take off, and a bunch of other people were like waiting in line, for their flights to take off. And I realized that I thought, you know, I could probably do this a lot better. And if only there was a game that could allow me to control an airline and organize it how I wish.
You know what's great about you? You don't need binoculars. You can see a mile away. It's just coming.
You can only see it if you know what game I'm bringing, which you guys did, but no one else did.
Do you want to tell our friends what it is?
Yeah, I'm bringing a little game called Pocket Planes. Pocket Planes is developed by Nimblebit. It's a small developer. You might know their work from a little game called Tiny Tower. And also Pocket Frogs, but Tiny Tower seemed to be their big hit. And Pocket Planes is similar to Tiny Tower in a few ways. One, it's free, and two, it sort of revolves around time management in the sense that, like, you know, things take like 5 minutes and you put your phone down or whatever, and then you come back and you like earn coins.
You should put really big finger air quotes around free when you talk
it totally is free. No, stop, because I put in a good, I'm not proud of the amount of time I spent playing Tiny Tower, and I did not spend a dollar until I felt guilty that I'd spent so much time with the game that I just bought a dollar just to give them a dollar.
I've actually been playing pocket planes all day.
Pocket Planes,
and I haven't spent
but this is one day. That's how their games work. You play it for an obscene amount of time for 3 days, and then you slowly start spending money.
That's not entirely true.
It's entirely false, because I spent 100 hours playing Tiny Tower and spent a dollar.
That's gross.
I've bought games for $60 that I, you know, spent a few hours on. I don't mind spending a dollar. I think my time is worth much, much more than that.
Right. There are a few cool things. The reason I like this better than Tiny Tower had a lot of like random monotony to it, where you had to like control an elevator and you wouldn't know what type of store you were building, and it was just a lot of randomness. It feels like you have a lot more control over how you expand your airline. You can pick from cities all over the world. Justin, you started playing, right?
Yeah.
And didn't you build in Europe somewhere, if I recall?
Yeah, I started in Munich.
In Munich, trying to learn some of the geography over there.
Yeah, trying to figure out what are they doing over there, you know?
What are they doing?
Because I don't know.
No, seriously, what are they doing? Do you know now?
I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm trying to. I've maybe put an hour into it or so. So far, I think it's a lot more. It seems a lot more dense.
Yeah, an actual game because Tiny Tower.
No. It is not. That's what I wanted.
Chore app. You know,
that's what I want to get to. First off, it is not. The tutorial does not do a very good job of sort of explaining what's going on in the game. It feels like there should be a slow ramp up. But more importantly, like, it's not a game. I mean, it's a toy that you can play with, but it's not. It's not a game.
It's not Wii Music, though. Like, we don't want to sell it too short.
But is it worth? I mean, like I said, the problem with Tiny Tower is it's chores. You check in and you do your chores and then
that's,
you're rewarded with points.
Yeah, but
no,
you could
that's,
argue that
that's
you could
extremely,
say that's what Skyrim is.
You could say that about any simulation game, really, and that's what.
Not right. No, because simulation games have a fail state. Yeah, they have a fail state. That's a racing simulation is nothing like Tiny Tower. Tiny Tower is not Sim Tower. It is come and do your chores and get your points, and check in at a right time so you can upgrade as much as possible in one day.
I think there's strategy to it in the way that there's strategy to playing Sim Tower or Sim City.
But there's no strategy in the sense that your victory, as it were, is assured. Like, you can't, it doesn't require any strategy.
It's whatsoever. Right. It's a question of how long it takes you to succeed.
Similarity to compare Sim Tower to Tiny Tower. There's no comparison whatsoever. You can't.
I think it's closer to. I think in this case, because you have a lot more control of how you expand. Let me tell the people, because the people might not have played this game. So you pick. You can basically build airports around the country, around the globe. And then you are buying planes, and as you progress through the game, you unlock more planes, and more planes have, you know, more seating for people, or they carry more cargo, and so you're constantly upgrading your airline with better planes, and better planes can go farther and carry more stuff, and that earns you more money, so on and so forth.
You can also find plane parts, which you can use to build your own planes.
Yeah.
What I really think is cool is the collaborative part of it. Can you talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. Griffin, did you join our
I joined.
Oh, yeah. You joined. Okay, so there's this thing called, what are they called, flight crews, something like that. In the menus there's an option called flight crew, and you go in there and it basically says, like, you know, what's the name of your flight crew, and if you type in one that already exists, for example, you should join the Polygon flight crew that already exists. You can basically have anyone that types in that same flight crew is working collaboratively to participate in these events that go on around the globe. So, for example, right now there's a chemical spill in Calgary, Canada, and we're trying to get medicine to Calgary. So anyone with the Polygon flight crew that goes to Calgary and brings medicine or doctors or whatever works together. And the idea is, the higher you up on the leaderboard of flight crews, when the event ends, those people are then rewarded with a huge amount of in-game money. So it's pretty cool. It's a, you know, very lo-fi. It's not like constantly bugging people like a Farmville would to join.
No, I like it because I don't know if this is what happens on iPhone. I'm playing it on iPad. Is just a friendly ding whenever my plane lands, like a seatbelt sign ding.
Yeah, you can do that. I turn off all the notifications.
You can turn it off, but it's a friendly ding, you know? It's comforting almost.
I think that the way the collaboration works is indicative of the problem with this sort of thing.
Why?
The fact that there's nothing you can do to hurt, there's no reason you wouldn't want somebody helping you. Like, that to me says, oh, it's basically like we're raking leaves. Come on over. Any leaves you can rake would be appreciated.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody you're not going to put on your team.
Well, but would you rather rake leaves alone or with help?
It's in there so more people will use the game and hopefully buy content. It's not in there to challenge you or to be part of
it. It's not a challenge.
It's just I think it's possible to build an engine, an electronic engine that preys on, sort of the human need to feel satisfaction and, you know, those dopamine triggers that games like Farmville and what have you prey off of. Like, I don't think that there's a big challenge to that. Everything past that is just marketing. Like, I would like to see a well-designed game rather than what is tantamount to a time sink with no real game to it.
So I think I understand what you're saying. You basically want something skill-based. Is that right?
It's not skill. I mean, it's not even like... skill-based is one of the defining tenets of any game. Like, it can't be a game otherwise.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean twitchiness. It just means...
Any sort of...
You can succeed where other people fail, and there's no failure to be found in Pocket Planes.
I could build a Lego machine that could play this game as well as I could, like, it's not a game. It's just I don't know.
I think I get the same satisfaction out of this that I get out of playing Diablo. I mean, you could argue that, you know, you can't quote-unquote fail in Diablo because you just keep restarting.
Well, except...
I mean, this is one of the problems that we brought up with Diablo.
I appreciate that it's a shallow... I appreciate, absolutely. It's a relatively shallow gameplay experience. But when it comes to I have a minute on a subway platform and I want to do something, there aren't too many options on mobile phones that'll give me, like, some sort of feeling of rewardedness, even if it's phony. Aren't that many options.
It's not an experiential reward where it's like, I did this, so I can feel proud. It's a very cumulative. I already feel a great sense of ownership for my airline. I like the planes. I like the cities I'm expanding to. I really want Tim Daly and Crystal Bernard to get together. Like, I feel a real ownership of it.
I'm with Justin on this boat. Game Dev Story is a game I thought I loved, but whenever I finish these things, I just feel like empty. Like, oh my gosh, I devoted so much time, and the same thing would have happened no matter what.
And that sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. But I like to get something out of a game that where I feel like I actually accomplished anything. And what I realized with those games is I was playing these, like, totally, totally brain-dead games on iOS on all my commutes. And at a certain point, it was like, what am I doing with this? I don't know. At this point, I use, like, Instapaper on the subway. It's like, I'll read. When I want to play a game, I'll play a game.
Look at me.
Yeah, but
I can read.
You know what I mean? I don't have to be playing a game 100% of my
life. I get it. But I think the good thing about this is, like, let's say you've got, whatever, a bunch of planes and you want to send them across the country. That literally takes 15 seconds to set up, and then you're not playing it anymore.
Yeah, and then
go
it
back to
you
it
5 minutes later that you should
check
in on it.
No, because it takes 6 hours to get across the country. So it's up to you how, like, long you
how
want
you
the trip to be.
Part of the problem is that because I don't find the mechanic, like, I think the mechanics of this are a little inscrutable. It doesn't do a good job of explaining it. I never had that moment where I bought into the fiction of what this was. Like, I've only seen it as ones and zeros. It's sort of like when you, if you play a lot of MMOs, that time it takes you from, like, I'm in a fantasy world to I need to get +1 for my fire protection gear because it's a math problem. Like, that time between those two realizations gets shorter and shorter the more you play because you see the mechanics emerge even before you can get into the world. And, like, that's the problem I had with this is, like, since I don't understand have a fundamental understanding of the mechanics, what it really feels like is just tapping things to get gold coins.
You're really curious about the mechanics, all you need to do is turn on TNN at 1 p.m. every weekday. You know, spend a little time with the Nantucket folks. They know what they're talking about.
Oh, God.
It's a callback.
Sounds good.
Oh, God.
So, Plant, what are you thinking?
What am I thinking? I think I brought the best game of the week.
Okay. You're not the commissioner. I got so used to it.
What the
fuck? Griffin, what are you thinking?
I don't know. Justin, you didn't sound too into your own game, so I think that we can safely go ahead and get rid of that.
Oh, no, don't. Okay.
See, I don't know. I'm enjoying Pocket Planes.
Griffin.
If I didn't have that personal... Griffin? If I didn't have that personal connection, I would say Griffin. Gravity Rush all the way.
Griffin, yeah. I just want to I want to remind you what you tell me every week.
What's that?
Plant. You better not bring some shitty iOS game.
This isn't a shitty iOS game, though.
You
this
say
is actually...
every iOS game I bring is shitty, and they're much better than Pocket Planes.
Yeah, but here's what you're not thinking about. I just bought an iPad 2 days ago, and I want things
did?
To play. Yeah, and right. I want things to now I want things to play on it.
Okay. Well, how about I recommend some good iOS games that aren't just reward mechanisms?
Hey, here's a question. Out of our two games, mine and Plant's games, if you recall, one of them was enthusiastically pitched, and one enthusiastically, is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was sort of like, no, I really like this thing, but the rest of the game is sort of meh.
Yeah.
That's because I'm just an honest critic. You know, sure, okay. I'm not afraid to show the flaws of something because I love it. While you have a stinker on your hand.
Chris Plant, tell me in which ways your game would be a good Wings simulator.
Wings simulator? Like the band or the TV show?
Of course the TV show.
Obviously the TV show.
First off, you make your house. It's kind of like the locker room where they all hang out.
Okay.
You actually get friends who come and live there with you.
Sure.
Like another lady comes and lives there with you.
Okay.
A man who has the power to open up his jacket and reveal the universe to you
comes. Oh, Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub, exactly. Tony Shalhoub, yeah.
Monk. I think what could be more Wings than that? You fly. Oh, I forgot to mention you can grab other people and make them fly with you.
Oh, that sounds
you can give them
just
a ride.
Like Steven Weber does
exactly.
When he gets them in their plane. Tell me something. Is the main character voiced by Amy Yazbeck?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have the Wings wiki page open right now. How is Sarah Fork's performances and Rebecca Scholl?
The former great, the second lacking.
Don't lie to me. How much does your game cost? $40?
Oh my gosh, we are not going to that. Yeah, but you
Griffin,
could spend,
ask me the
you
same
spend
question.
$200. You could spend easily $200 on Pocket Planes.
I gotta give it to Gravity Rush.
Thanks. What?
Thank you for being sane. I appreciate
that's
this.
Insane. He didn't even like his fucking game.
I love my game.
He was like, meh. It's pretty good. I really like the gravity stuff, but the rest of it's crap. Whereas 100%, I loved it. And not only that, you loved it, Griffin. I call foul. Commissioner.
I think you guys are about to be surprised.
Appeal.
Because I think Gravity Rush is better for our current bestie than Max Payne 3.
Oh, you're...
Pitch me on that.
Okay. So, one, Max Payne, you play...
Perfect
you play,
Wing
you play
Simulator.
It on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3. There are plenty of other games to play.
Yeah.
You got a Vita. What are you going to play?
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and overrule this point. You can't just say the scarcity of releases on the platforms.
Okay.
There aren't any new... If somebody released a new f***ing Virtual Boy game, I wouldn't be like, oh man, ain't that many of those out.
Okay. Second point. The whole game has a pretty traditional fantasy sci-fi story. Except there is a little girl you meet in the game who arbitrarily, it seems, will behave like a little girl half the time, and the other half will look at you dead-eyed and ask you if you are part of a dream, and that by playing the game, you are disrupting a bigger dream, and that if you keep playing, you may force the internal being to wake up, and that so you will cease to exist.
That sounds a lot like Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is maybe this, that we have actually been given a message
from our
super being.
Yeah, a space whale. In
our super unconscious space whale whose dream we all live in.
This is maybe the second message that he has ever sent. And the first one was Zelda.
Link's Awakening.
Which is great. You know, good company. And this is his second, maybe most important call to us to awake him and cease our existence. Kind of a universal seppuku.
Well, I don't want to do that is the problem. So the like,
but we don't know what's past that, you know?
You're like, saying that we could reach another plane of existence by playing Gravity Rush and receiving the secret sleeping space whale's message. Yeah,
and waking up a space whale.
Okay.
I'm saying that's a real possibility.
Is it a real possibility? Listen to the words. Listen to the words you're saying as you're saying them.
Wait a second.
Say it out loud for me.
By playing Gravity Rush, we could awaken a space whale who is
a red flag. There's your first red flag right there.
No, okay. Read it back to me.
Space whale.
No one remembers. By playing pocket planes,
oh my God, you can fly.
Shut up! You can fly to Saskatoon.
What?
How do I buy new planes?
Okay, I think...
Russ, tell me. Now this is a section of the show I just came up with called Pro Tips. Russ, how do I buy new planes?
I sent you a part. Did you get it?
I got one shitty part of a plane. Yeah. It's an engine. If I threw it off a building, it would just fall on the ground. It has neither lift nor drag. Please tell me how to buy a plane.
You spend your space bucks.
Guys, are you trying to tell me that we're not going to promote Gravity Rush past Max Payne?
No, Gravity Rush is not being Max Payne.
No.
Well,
although I do think Max Payne 3 is reaching its freshness limit, where it moves into that.
Yeah. And by the way, people who are listening, feel free to harass the rest of the Besties members on Twitter for holding back a great game from being the best game.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm just putting that out there.
people that are listening, say the word Saskatoon. It's really, really fun.
It's really your own fault because you came to us with some space whale nonsense. Let's end the show.
Okay.
I'm so over it, the whole thing. How do I buy new ones? How do I check my parts that I have?
I accidentally bought 8 hot air balloons. How am I doing?
There are actually hot air balloons in the game.
I know. I bought them all. Thought it'd be fun. They go at like 10 miles
plane.
An hour.
So thanks for listening to our show, The Besties. Make sure you keep up with our writing, theverge.com/gaming. We'll have our own website soon. It's called polygon.com. It'll be great. I promise. You can follow us on Twitter at Polygon, Facebook/Polygon, YouTube/Polygon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And make sure you join us again next week for The Besties. Shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's nerds?